right, for I guess you get to look at me most of the time up here today, so. Oh, thank you. We're going to turn to the book of Jude today, where we're going to begin. And I'm going to warn you about the length of my sermon before I start. It might not be very long. So don't be nervous when I say that. The book of Jude, it's kind of hidden in there because it's only about a page long. So right before Revelation, right after 3 John, the book of Jude. Now I'm going to read the whole book. I think there's 25 verses. So, but I like the theme and kind of the main message that is here, and that's what I wanted to talk about today, so that was a good place for us to start. Jude, verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God and Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith with which once for all delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh and exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know like unreasoning animals, by these things they were destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and have rushed headlong into the heir of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love's feast, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without wavering, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. And about these also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, 'In the last time there shall be mockers, following after their own ungodly lust.' These are the ones who cause division, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all the time and now and forever. Amen. So this is the letter that was written here, or as we know as the book of Jude. And a couple things that I wanted to point out mostly today was, and we talk about this often, I guess, it's not a new thought, but the idea of false teachings or being deceived or deceivers, and how prevalent they are, and how important it is for us to stand firm against them. And there's some examples here of in history of things in the past. We saw in verse 5 where the Lord brought the people out of the land of Egypt, but destroyed those who did not believe. And then talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and the fate that found them, I guess, for their sins, and for not wanting to repent. And it's kind of a warning there, you know, using these past examples that we know about as a warning of what not to do, because we could end up with the same kind of punishment, right? But the main thing I wanted to look at today was like in verse 16 there. It says, "These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage." And I just feel like in this world today, there's a lot of people that could be put into that category. That they follow after their own lusts, whatever it might be. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. And for us to not get carried away and swept up in that is extremely crucial, right? It's life or death. Spiritually, life or death for us is what weighs in the balance there. It's something that I think a lot of people can get trapped into. Verse 19, it says, "These are the ones who cause divisions." I think when people are these ideas that they get put into the minds of Christians can cause divisions amongst them, and worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. And when you can divide people up, and you can get them thinking worldly minded, the enemy has a strong foothold. And by the enemy, I mean the devil, because when he can get that that world mindset back into the believer, then he can regain control. Right? That's where he has his power. Spiritually, he's overcome by the Holy Spirit. Right? But as a worldly standpoint, that's where his stronghold is, right? And that's where he's trying to draw us into. So that's one of the biggest tactics that there is the false religion or the false ideas, or even just the ideas of this world that there's so many things that are accepted in today's society that are just, I mean, awful, evil things, right? I mean, you think you know, you read through the account of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you just think, "Oh man, what a horrible group of people!" And I mean, how far off are we from that, though? Really, I mean, you think about those things, but that stuff is pushed more and more and more all the time in our world and even in our country, and it's all done under the freedom of speech, and everybody has to have freedom, and you accept all these things, but what are we really doing, though? We see the divisions, don't we? These people against these people, and if you don't believe what these people believe, then you're wrong. And it's all worldly minded divisions, right? It's just the enemy at work. And as I was reading through Jude here, all those thoughts are just in my mind, and I just was thinking, this is just, this seems so real, doesn't it? You know, this circumstances that are around us is just, I mean, Scripture warns us of these things long time ago. Another familiar passage with this is 2 Timothy. We'll just turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who was to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, and reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. This warning here is there's going to come a time. I think we've seen that time for a long time, where people want to follow their own desires. And I think the key thing here is, in verse 4, it says they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. When we turn away from the truth, then there's no telling where that path may lead us, right? But when we can keep that as our focus, and when I say the truth, we're talking about the true Word of God, right? What He commands us to do, what we're instructed to do, how we live, why we live, all those basic principles, if we keep them true to the Word, or godly principles, we're going to be able to survive, right? But as soon as we turn away from that, even if we have good intentions, when we turn away from that, you're headed down that road. And it's so important for us to not do that. And I think in Colossians chapter 3, we want to turn there. I think, you can ask, quite well, how do we keep from doing that? I think this little passage right here sums it up about as good as anything I could find in Scripture here, as far as a short-term passage right here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Speaking about, written to Christians, so talking to Christians here. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So, verse 2 right there says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. That verse speaks volumes right there. As far as the success of a Christian, and when I say success, that would gauge that by where you're at eternally, right? That's where our success is going to be at. That's where we want our goal needs to be. And to get there and to have that, we set our mind on the things above and not on things of this earth. And I think the two parts of that verse are equally as important. We set our mind on things above, but we must not set our mind on things of the earth as well. They can't mix together, can they? Right? Things don't work that way. Extremely crucial for us to keep this. It's simple principle, right? As far as a Christian is concerned, it's like, oh yeah, we know these things, but it's something we constantly have to be aware of, because this is where the enemy's gonna creep in. It's not gonna come and it can at times come and just in front of you and be bold and just be easily recognized. Hey, this is evil. This, it's these little things that we creep in. We start letting certain things go. We accept certain things just to keep the peace, quote unquote. It's like, oh, is that really worth fighting over? Well, it is. Because when we let those things go, we're starting to give the enemy a foothold. And when he gets a foothold, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. It's extremely critical for us to always keep this idea in our minds. The other passage I want to turn to is in Philippians today. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I'll start in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, their God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Again, talking about those who end is destruction, or God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Right? It's just, again, we see this principle again, the importance of this. Where is our focus? Is it on success in the, on this earth? Because it's going to come as a price. Right? We saw, last week we talked about Solomon and his kingdom, and talked briefly about the wealth and the riches that he had. I mean, almost beyond comprehension, the value of the riches he had. But it was all for what? For nothing, right? Because he didn't follow God's commandments. He wasn't a man for God's heart. And it was all in vain, right? It was worldly possessions. And there, like I said, we put a value on that was out of this world, so to speak. But really, what is that value when it's temporary, right? It's all here temporary. It's all here to be destroyed. We need to keep our mind on things above, where our eternal rest is going to be. And it's a principle that I think we can take for granted. We hear it and we read these verses and they seem repetitive at times maybe, but I think it's one of the most critical things for us to do is to work on where our mindset is and where our focus is. Because without that, it might not take very much for us to start to slide from the truth a little bit, right? And once we go a little bit, then it could go a little bit more, a little bit more, and it's a before long we're being worldly minded, right? We start to accept the things that once maybe seemed so bad, but now it's like, oh, maybe that isn't so bad. You know, this other thing's quite a bit worse. So this, you know, this really isn't so bad. Start to give in a little bit, right? Start to compromise a little bit on what the truth really stands for. And it's important for us to not do that. And at times it's hard to be outspoken about it, possibly. But even if we can't do that, we need to each individually need to keep where our focus is at and where our goal is going to be. So just what I was thinking about today, and as I read through Jude, I really had some of those thoughts, and I thought I'd just share those today. And so that's what I had today. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be together today, to meet around your table, Lord, and to remember what you've done for us. And we're just thankful for the great day that you give us each day of the week that we can be renewed in our mind and we can lean on one another and knowing that we have a great Savior in Jesus. And we're just glad that we can do that. Just help us to work on where our focus is, Lord. Help us to have a heavenly mindset, to not get trapped in the schemes of this world and fall prey to the devil and what he would desire. Lord, help us to be stronger. Help us to be lifted up. Lord, we just pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to help us to overcome and to gain the reward that we know is there if we follow your commandments, Father. And we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.